So we're going to look at a neat little clip from Lord of the Rings that I got to watch this the other day, and it inspired me to be kind of thinking, the wheel of thought. And while we're going into all this teachings and stuff, Yahweh's not waiting for perfection. He's waiting for us to show up. Come on. Show up. He knows that every single one of us, you got a million reasons and a million things to do. You got a million carries. He can carry those things if we show up. When Samuel was going to anoint David, what did Yahweh tell him? Actually, before this, he says, don't look at what?
Stature.
His appearance. What should you look at?
Heart.
The heart. It was the heart. And so a lot of times, what is he going to use me? How is he going to use me? Or whatever it is. All of us have a weakness. Everybody's got weaknesses. He's looking at this thing. And what an excellent beginning of a ministry. This was just recently as I was reading Strooms the other day. The beginning of a ministry was the Apostle Peter. What did his heart look like after he got the fish load of the net full of fish? What did he do to Yehoshua? Depart from me. The high priest would have said, thanks a lot. Other people, they wouldn't bow down or anything like that. But where was Peter's heart? You are the Mashiach. And here he is in front of Yahweh. There's a lot of people, they won't bow down to Yehoshua. They won't bow down to Yahweh either. They'll act like a high priest, and how many people right now are in churches leading things? And they're the seed of the serpent. They would never bow down. But what was Yahweh and Yehoshua looking for? And I bet when Peter collapsed like that, Yehoshua went, it's a grand slam. You're exactly what I thought it was. And here he was. He picked him. And he goes, did I not pick you guys? And here's Peter. And so how many of us were sitting there going, but here's it. He's an Elohim of second chances. And we're going to look at a short clip from the movie Lord of the Rings about a second chance that a guy got. Now be ashamed. That's a resurrection. Mm-hmm. And his life at the beginning, before this, he's holding on to his kingdom, his earthly kingdom. Here's what I got. Got to get back to work. Where was his treasure? Not in the resurrection. But at this point, he's saying, I'm going to go to my Father's, and I won't be ashamed how I ended. It doesn't matter how good you are. It's how you finish.
Yeah.
And that's throughout the word. How many people started off good? Lucifer was shining, right? For the adversary. Judas started, and here these people started, but this guy ended well. And what was his focus? I'm going to go meet my fathers. Am I going to be ashamed? Because we're going to read in 1 Corinthians that everything we do is going to be like on a big screen. Where's your treasures? Are they going to pass through the fire? You get to keep some things? Where are your relationships? Are you going to invest in your kids in this life? Or are you going to invest in your kids for the next life? I hate you! Wow. That's not easy. If you're focusing on this one. But here this guy, he's thinking, now when I meet my fathers, because when we go to sleep, because it says we will sleep, but when we wake up, look how he finished his race. Oh, that's a great way to live. And there's a saying, it's in some movies, everybody everybody live, but not everybody dies well, or something like that. So how are you going to die, or how are you going to end your, and that's where we're supposed to be living every day. But this guy, at this point right here, is like, I'm going to my fathers. And how are you going to go to your fathers, and how are you going to go to your fathers? Because King David is going to be, as far as we know, he's going to be watching our movie. Reading the book. No, Saul, come on. I remember that when Saul went to the witch of Endor. Saul, you're going to die. Repent. Ahab repented. And here, he never repents, and that's it. You know, it's too late. It's too late. But no, Yahweh always has second chances. Matthew chapter 4, page 3. We're just there with Caleb. With temptations. And as we were reading about the temptations of our Lord and Savior. Has anybody ever gone 40 days without food?
You.
Gone 3, right?
Oh, yeah. Moses did. I mean, I'm talking about...
No, any of us.
Angels here. Yeah, that's...
To say you're hungry after 40 days not eating, is that an understatement?
Yeah, that's... You're usually dead.
And so you're going to go... And here's our Lord and our Savior. So as Caleb and I were reading this, what do you think Jehoshua was thinking about? Food. Yeah. 40 days, you kidding me? I've had that where I missed a meal or something, and I'm like, oh, I'm very irritable, and I'm being crabby, I need to eat in order to finish this race. And in this case, Yehoshua was tempted with food. And he goes, so the question is with that, what are you tempted with? Where are you tempted with? And all of us have temptation that we've got to overcome. And how did he do it? He did it by Romans 10:17, quoting Yahweh's word. But in, let's see here, chapter 4, verse 17, would somebody read 17 through 20 for me?
From that time began Yahushua to be making proclamation and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of the heavens hath drawn near. And walking round beside the sea of Galilee, he saw two brethren, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a large fishing net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway, leaving the nets, followed him.
And so kind of the theme of the teaching of second chances is they left their nets. And they left it. Would that be easy? That's your livelihood at this point. No, it's not easy. Did they have a lot of questions? Absolutely. With Gideon, or I was reading about Judges when Othniel went in to go kill Eglon, I think it was. As I'm reading this, Eglon, when he said, I have a secret message, Eglon says, everybody get out of here. Ehud didn't know that he was going to be alone if he's going to stab this guy. Yeah. And as I'm reading, this is a suicide mission. Yeah. Possibly. Maybe. Maybe not. And Dad goes, well, it could have been a backup plan. Maybe he wouldn't kill him if he wasn't alone. But I'm going to go, there. If you read that, you're going to go, there's a lot of variables here unanswered for. But this guy went in. He's showing up was half the point. And look what happened. But in this case, he asked Peter and Andrew to leave their nets. And that's all of us. What is he asking you to leave? I was talking to Rachel. And I said, when I played football, I had a loss of identity when I got done playing football.
Yeah.
And now I try to mentor people. My identity is not a football player. My identity is not an insurance or investments or Air Force or father. Our identity is in Christ. And he's got many jobs. And if you put your identity in your position or your job, well, then you're going to be missing it when he asks you to take another job. But Peter and Andrew did leave their nets. John chapter 21, it's page 118. And so, you know, this life, it's about how you're going to finish. At the end of the gospel called John, had Peter done many mighty things? Yeah, he did. Was he called to the Mount of Transfiguration? Mm-hmm. Yes. What else did Peter do? Oh, something called walking on water. Yeah. What else did he do? He cut off Malchus's ear. Good intentions. Had he done a lot? Are you kidding me? Right? All right. I'm 40 years old. I've done a lot of really good things. I'm going to coast. All of us will get there. We're at a plateau. I've done a lot. Hey, now's the time, a little bit of me. And what happens here over in, before we go to verse 17, in verse 21, verse 3, after Yehoshua came back for 40 days, he's teaching them. What's it say in verse 3, 21 verse 3, Caven?
Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing.
So what did he go back to?
Fishing.
Back to his nets. Go back to his nets. And we, and I'm not to pick on Peter, but in our own lives, we'll go back to our nets. And here's my life. In and out of cycles. And you know what my weakness was? People. I always had people pulling me right back down. It was, who's going to take care of Cliff and Cody and Brianna? I got to be that one. I got to be that mediator is what I would think. And guess who would end up back down here again? And then all of a sudden, and then throughout my life, it's over and over again. If it's not Cliff and Brianna and Cody, my friends from high school and college, it'll be something else. I'll be back down in here again. And here, and in a verse chapter, or chapter 21, verse 17, somebody that read through 20, what's going to happen? Mom, would you read, please?
17, did you say?
Yeah, through 20.
He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of John, art thou fond of me? Peter was grieved that he had said unto him the third time, art thou fond of me? And he said unto him, Lord, all things thou knowest, thou perceivest that I am fond of thee. Yehoshua saith unto him, be feeding my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast younger, thou used to gird thyself and to walk whither thou didst choose. But when thou shalt become aged, thou shalt stretch out thy hands, and another shall gird thee and bear thee, whither thou dost not choose. Now this he said, signifying by what manner of death he should glorify. Well, wait a minute. Now he said, signifying he should glorify Yahweh. And having said this, he saith unto him, be following me. Peter, turning about, beholdeth the disciple whom Yahushua loved following, who also reclined during the supper upon his breast, and said, Lord, who is it that is delivering thee up? Is that his part?
Peter, therefore, seeing this one, saith unto Yehoshua, Lord, and this one, what? What's he going to do? And Yehoshua said unto him, if I will that he remaineth until I come, what is it to thee? Thou be following me. And so, in my own life, what gets me back down into the pits is people. Looking at people. He wasn't talking about anybody else. And every single one of us, he's talking to us. We're beginning a new decade, a new year, a new life. Are we trying to drag in our nets into it? Because Peter had done many mighty things and he got singled out. Do you think Peter felt like he was being picked on? Yeah. And he goes, when you were a kid, you drank milk. But you've grown up. Act like a grown up. Did Moses have to produce faith at the end?
Yeah.
And so every single one of us, it's time to grow up. It's about me, not them. It's about me. Well, look what all I did. Look what all I've done. And Yehoshua was like, hey, Peter, have I retired?
Yeah.
Am I golfing? Nobody's out working Yehoshua. And that's who the reference point is. You be following me. Leave your nets. And here's Peter again. A second chance. Leave your net. Scary, 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 scary stuff. How's he going to do it? But Peter did it. So he had to just go, just one day at a time, show up. Show up. So I bet you right then Peter walked away and he thought about it. What am I going to do again? He'd go back. All of us have been called. We've had second and third chances. And then we look at that. He's a God, a Christ Father is a God of peace. Colossians 3:15. Right? But I bet you when Peter went fishing, it probably felt good at first. But I bet you the peace was gone. It's kind of, here we go, here's life, clock in, clock out, clock in, clock out. All of us have been there. You're going to have some sort of reward. I mean, otherwise you wouldn't be tempted for it. But in this case, I bet you that night after Peter left his nets, I bet you he went to sleep with great peace. What about tomorrow? Yeah, what about tomorrow? Look who I'm going to be with. He's the Elohim of second chances. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, page 167.
1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, what?
It's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, sorry.
That kind of sounds like 9.
I did say 9, which is verse 9. But,
I'm just kidding.
I was talking to Caven, we heard about the stewardship, and I said, Caven, what if you asked your best friend to come over to your house? To take care of your house, and Caven's got how many cats?
Four
cats, a dog, a rabbit. What else you got?
A hedgehog.
A hedgehog, right? I want you to take care of the house. Help yourself to the fridge. Take care of the pets. Mow the yard. It's a nice house. Take care of it, right? I said, okay, well, what would happen if you came back after the summer? Three of your four cats are gone. Your dog's emaciated, starving to death. All your video games are destroyed. Spray painted. What would you do to that person? What would you do? There's a bad steward. Everything that we have, we're a steward of. Our relationships, your spouse, your kids, you're a steward. Your money, you're a steward. Are you going to be a good steward of what you have? No, it's my wife. No, it's my son. No, it's not your son. For 2 Corinthians 5:14, he died for you. And if somebody died for you, you owe him. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
This guy died for me. I owe him. And that's what will make all of our lives so much easier. What about them? What about them? Yahweh will take care of them. I owe them. And then we're talking about stewardship because in this next, we're getting ready to read, is about a farm. And if you have a property, I never understood Tim's hatred for trees. He lives on 5 acres. And Izzy would be like, yep, yep, trees, you gotta hate trees. Because Izzy took care of how many acres of John's property? Like 140 or something like that?
1,000.
1,000 acres. Because it's a nuisance when you're taking care of the properties, tearing up fences or whatnot. I never had that. And then I moved on like a quarter acre. I don't even know if it's a quarter, an eighth of acre. I got mulberry trees going everywhere. I'm going outside, I'm cursed. You die in the name of Jesus Christ! No more! No more! Because but whatever the thing is, when you're trying to take care of stuff, you're trying to be a good steward of it. And what we got to do is, are we tending to our lives? Is there poison ivy that's in your life? Are there, what's going on? Because it's going to say that Yehoshua is going to show up. You're going to go, really? That's what you did? In verse 9. So that, think of this as your life. And then think about your temptations. It's easy to look at my temptations and not be tempted with it. What's your temptations? We were at about not eating for 40 days. I ran one day. I wanted to see if I could run a half marathon. I'm like, I could do it. I was humbled. I just put it that lightly. I could run 10, 13 miles. I could do it. I did. It took me about 15 hours. But on the way back after running, if you run for an hour and a half, you know what happens? You start getting really, really, really hungry. Really hungry. I had to run by Pizza Hut. They're like, that was just like running 10 miles. They're gonna, what are you tempted with? Okay, so you hear, Dad, would you read 9 through 15, please?
For we are Yahweh's fellow workmen, ye are Yahweh's farm, Yahweh's building, according to the favor of Yahweh which hath been given unto me as a wise master builder. I laid a foundation, whereas another is building thereon. But let each one see how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no one lay than that which is lying, which is Yahushua Mashiach. But if anyone is building upon a foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work shall be manifest. For the day will make it plain, because by fire it is to be revealed. And each one's work of what sort it is, the fire itself will prove. If anyone's work shall abide with he built, a reward shall he receive. If anyone's work shall be burned up, he shall suffer loss, but shall himself be saved through thus as through fire.
Yeah, that's good right there. Okay. Kind of get the concept. That even this is the King Theoden up there. He didn't know how he was going to end. It snuck up on him. But as the darkness was creeping in and his back is broken, he told his daughter not to go into war. She sneaks in, so he finds his daughter, and he's like, what do you do? I know you. He didn't know how he was going to end. All of us will be that king someday. Do we know when Christ is coming back?
No.
Do we know when we're going to die?
Nope.
How many Christians have went to sleep and they all of a sudden they're like, wow. My last 6 years, that's it? Golly. We can end very, very well. If we stay the course. And we're looking at the resurrection. In Genesis 19:26, Lot's wife went back to Sodom. Where was her reward? Boom. Eli, in 1 Samuel 2:27, what did Yahweh say to the priest, you love your sons more than you love Yahweh. That changes once you have a son. Yeah. You know, I hate you, or Caleb hasn't been like that, but he's only 14. But the idea is, I'm just a steward of him. And if he rebels against Yahweh, and he rejects Yahweh, my job is not to be his friend. If he goes wicked, it's my job to keep the light burning. No, I don't go wicked. The prodigal son can come home. The light's on. I don't go out. And what if he leaves forever? I will see him at the resurrection. But I will not allow my son or my wife or my dad to drag me down into a pit. Well, I'm going to lose this relationship. All of us go through this cycle. Where is your reward? Where is your reward? Where is your reward? Peter, too, leading the nets. And I want to know, this year, how many people could possibly be raised by our shadow like Peter did? Mm-hmm. Have no idea. It's so great. But he's the God of second chances. He'll give us second chances, too, in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Is going to be, we'll wrap up there. And with these things, worry not for tomorrow shall worry for itself. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. All of us are being tempted with the nets he's asking us to leave behind. And some of the nets we've been carrying for a while, so he's not even bringing it up again. Have you ever had that? And it wasn't until I heard a John Shanahan teaching or John Lynn teaching when I'm 22, I went, oh man, I know what he's talking about. I knew it. And a lot of times why I wouldn't leave the nets behind is because I'm thinking 2 to 3 days a month. No, one day at a time. Just leave the nets today. Just today. Show up today. Yeah. Show up today again. Show up today again. Show up today again. But 1 Corinthians 10:13, trial hath not taken you, save such as man can bear. Faithful, moreover, is Yahweh, who will not suffer you to be tried above what ye are able, but will make with the trial also the way of escape, that ye may be able to hold out. And we think about, with this guy, if you see his last run, because he was the one that was demonized, and he was the one, and you see the very end, rallying the troops. This is a suicide mission. They didn't know the end, how it was going to work out with the ghost coming and going to help him out. And he goes and rallies all the troops, and he's with his sword, he's yelling at him. I think about David. Going to go, man, each one of us could end like that. Something like that. Not that we want to die, but that, and that's the deal. Just end it today. How are you going to end it today? And then that, and then when you go to sleep, when you wake up, you're going to go, man, what a way to go out. So he's the Elohim of second chances with Peter. I think he's asking all of us to do it. He's asking every single one of us to raise it up. Mom and Dad and Tim and Donna, you guys are older than me. You guys have been running this longer than I have. But the thing is he's not satisfied with any one of us. Until we're like Christ. Then we look at the Apostle Paul who says, I want to know Christ and the fellowship of his suffering. You're going to go, that's the pinnacle every single day. And we could be like a tree producing those fruit. Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you for tonight. We thank you for a new year that we've been blessed with. We thank you for Donald Trump and the Republican Congress. We thank you for all the men and women in the military that's protecting us. We thank you for helping us give you a first fruit that will glorify your name, that when people see us take off, it was just like when I got to hear about Izzy with J.D. Seamster. Says your dad, your brother, caught on fire, man. So I just thank you, Father, for these things, for these words. My children know that tomorrow is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. Your flesh haunts you because you don't know about tomorrow. But I'm the one preparing tomorrow like a parents do on Christmas morning or Christmas Eve before Christmas morning. So believe in me. Believe in me. And as you reconcile and force your thoughts to do what I tell you to do, so will you strengthen yourself to endure the sufferings of today. Amen.